Hello, I am going to talk about what I did last Christmas. So, before Christmas, that time's called the Advent, and in some places you give children Advent calendars that have 24 doors, and you open one door on each day in December leading up to Christmas. And there's usually a little piece of candy or chocolate in there, and that's the way you count down to Christmas. For those of us who are not actual children anymore, but maybe children at heart and who are programmers, there is an alternative on the internet, which is called the Advent of Code, which looks like this. And just to be clear, I'm not affiliated with that. I'm just a consumer, like many other people. And so that gives you an advent calendar that every day opens a new programming puzzle, which is it's a sort of a basically a fancy math puzzle that sort of poses a problem, and you have to basically just type in the answer. But the problem is so hard that it's not solvable. So just on paper or by thinking about it, you have to write a small program to compute the answer, and gives you an opportunity to sort of think about algorithms a little bit and things like that. And everybody can approach that any way they want. There's no specific programming language that's required or anything like that. All you have to do is read the problem and type in the answer, and the program you can write any way you want. And so you can use this as an opportunity to practice your programming skills or maybe learn a new programming language or anything like that. So I've seen some friends do this the last couple of years. This year was the first time I did it, and for some reason I don't actually remember anymore, I decided to use a new programming language every day. So I have some new learning to do every day leading up to Christmas and keep myself busy that way. So these are the languages that I used, and I mentioned the advent calendars, at least the ones I'm used to, have 24 doors. So the last one is opened on Christmas Eve. For some reason, the advent of code has 25 days, which also upsets me because it makes these two column lists uneven. So these are the languages I used, and there's no particular reason why I chose those. I just wrote down a list of languages that I knew and tweaked it around a little bit so adjacent days are not too similar, so you don't have like C and C++ on the next day. And that's it. And then I just went for it. So my connection to free and open source software is I'm involved in the Postgres project. So my main expertise is C programming. So I started sort of with those languages that I knew, and then toward the end I added languages that I'd not really used before. So to show kind of where my starting point was, the green bold languages here are the ones I used a lot before and I was quite proficient in. And then the red ones are languages that I had literally never used before, so I had to basically learn them on the spot. And then the other ones are sort of in between. So it's about a third of what I knew, a third totally new, and a third in between. So the way the Advent of Code works, each puzzle is unlocked at midnight, North American Eastern Time. So for me in Europe, that was 6 a.m., which kind of worked well for me because I basically got up every day at 6 a.m. and started working on it, and it took, between half an hour and 2 hours, depending on sort of various difficulties. And so I usually was done by the time the rest of my family got up. It got a little bit harder toward the end, as I mentioned. I also tweaked it a little, the list a little bit. So some of the things that I knew were going to be harder, I moved to the weekend. For example, the C sharp and Ada combo there, I moved that intentionally to the weekend because I knew that was going to take a little longer, so I had a little bit more time. So let's go back to that list. What do we learn? So all of these languages are available in open source versions. That was good. The puzzles, it has to be noted, the puzzles are, a limited use case of programming, right? There was no sort of user interface, graphics, or concurrency, or networking in there, or scaling, very limited error handling, things like that. So this is not a way to evaluate the programming language for, any purpose, right? And that's not what I want to do here. I don't want to give sort of which one is the best. One thing I noticed, the way I approached these problems is usually, you read the problem. It's usually sort of one page on the, one or two pages on the browser, and then you formulate a solution in your head, and then you have to type it into a program. And the translating what is in your head to a program is sort of the tricky part of programming in a way. And you can sort of decide or realize like which languages make that more or less annoying, right? And which language make you sort of work more for reasons that are not related to the problem. For example, just to pick something out, maybe many people can understand, when I was working on the C++ problem, I intentionally tried to use C++ style coding instead of just writing it as a C program, which I had done a couple of days before. And a lot of I had to do a lot of work converting C strings to C++ strings and back because of all the APIs I had to use. And so that's unrelated to the problem I tried to solve. So it kind of got in my way. The opposite end of the problem was, for example, on the 22nd, I used Scheme. And in that case, it was really like the problem was sort of I had interpreted the English text in my head, and then I basically just wrote it. The rules down as a Scheme program, and I didn't have to do any translation. I just, the way it was written down, I just wrote it as a program, and then it worked. So there was a really sort of eye-opening experience in a way. So the other thing I appreciated in some cases was that most of these languages come with what, at least in sort of the Python world, is called batteries included. So had a good library to do all kinds of things already, especially the kind of things that you had to do, like string parsing and list management and things like that. A couple of languages were slightly disappointing in that case, where I had to do a lot of sort of leg work before I could even address the problem. So slightly disappointing in that context were, for example, Swift and OCaml, where I had to do, I basically had to copy a bunch of utility functions from Stack Overflow, and before I could even do my actual work. But most of the other ones are quite good in that. I one sort of request in a way is, if you write documentation for a language or a library, so a low-level library in a language, please include examples. Some ecosystems are very good at that, but some don't have, they have all of these things have really good documentation accessible online, but a lot of them just explain something in like the specific jargon, but don't give you an example or two to be able to relate to what you already know. And then that seems like frustrating and unhelpful. And then it makes you think about programming paradigms. So the three major paradigms I think about in this context are structural programming, which basically means you use loops and subroutines, object-oriented programming, and functional programming. And it there used to be a time where the proponents of one paradigm thought it would replace the previous one. So famously, for example, Java tried, was hoping that object-oriented programming would replace everything before it. Didn't really work out that way. Haskell is another extreme example that, it forces you to use functional programming to a fault in a way. But what I found is that, all of these approaches have their reason for existence. And sometimes you think about a problem as a, a loop. I have to do this 100 times. And sometimes you think about it, oh, I have to call this recursively, until the counter reaches zero or something like that, right? And or I have to map something over this list, or I loop over this list. And those are equivalent, but there's just different ways of thinking about it. And I appreciated that in many languages where you can choose and they don't force you to use a particular approach or another, right? So that is I think a trend recently where languages allow you to use different paradigms and don't force one and allow you to combine them in different ways. So just whichever way you think and whatever your background is valid. So for example, I do mostly C programming, and then sometimes when people look at my other programs, like my Perl programs, they say, "Oh, this looks like a C program written in Perl," because that's kind of the way I am trained to think. And so this allows me to get into another language with what I know and then grow into in that ecosystem as well. So many languages are quite good at that now. So let's pick some favorites here. If I had to tell someone who just wants to program in the specific context of the advent of code, I would probably recommend using either Python or Ruby, which are sort of the languages that give you that multi-paradigm experience. They are really easy to get into. They have good batteries included. They don't annoy you too much with unrelated things. So that would be my recommendation in this specific context, but I'm not trying to otherwise pick any favorites. I also learned to like a lot of these other languages for specific reasons. So that here's a link to my code. As I mentioned, I work mostly on Postgres, so I have to do a lot with SQL. I didn't really pick it here or did anything with it because I wanted to do something different, right, for this fun project. But I do want to do a quick cross promotion here. A colleague, Vic Fearing, has been doing the advent of code in pure SQL now for a couple of years. So just as a query, not with any kind of procedural programming, just as a big query, basically. So if you're interested in learning more about SQL or just see like a different way of doing that, there's also a link there and a recorded talk. So that is my report from Christmas. I would encourage everyone to also maybe check it out next year, or you can even check out the previous years as well if you want to have some programming puzzles. It's quite fun. So enjoy that. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Yes, there is no question yet.
Well, if we have no questions or questions are still coming in, thank you for the feedback in the chat. It's quite a fun project, and I appreciate sort of that other people also enjoyed it in their own way.
Oh, yes, there's a question here. Which language took you longest to get into its paradigm? What was your experience with that?
Which language took me the longest to get into?
Yeah, its paradigm. What was your experience with that?
Well, I already knew, the paradigms I talked about, so functional programming. I had done some sort of toy work with Haskell before, so I was already deeply into how that you structure that kind of thing. If I hadn't done that before, that would have probably been quite difficult. So I don't think I had any issues with sort of really understanding a language or what it was about. There's probably like other languages, like I didn't do, for example, like Prolog or something like that, which probably would have been a totally new experience. So I guess I didn't really have that specific problem.
Next question is, do you plan on testing 25 languages on next year?
Yeah, exactly. That people have been asking me that question. I kind of made a list for fun, see if I could come up with another 25. I mean, there's obviously, hundreds of programming languages, but I didn't really come up with a good list of, an other obvious 25 to try. So I'm not sure. That's a question I ask myself, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay, next question is good one. How easy or hard was it to pick up Rust just for a single challenge in a day?
Well,
And it was actually surprisingly easy, right? In the languages that I didn't know at all, I mean, I usually sort of installed the tool chain the night before just so I didn't have any tooling problems the next day. And then I just sort of went for it and sort of Googled for stuff around and picked up examples and sort of mashed it together, and it worked. So it was actually surprisingly easy. That's kind of really the gist of what I'm saying here.
Okay, next question is, we'll just say that there are other methods of randomizing what programming language you would do. Did you get it?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay.
That's better. Yeah, do whatever you just did. That's easy to understand.
Okay. We just say that there are other methods of randomizing what programming language you would do.
I see the question here.
Okay.
Randomizing the order in which I would do them. I didn't want to overthink that part. So.
Thank you. Could you show some example codes in different languages for AOC?
Yeah, I did link to my GitHub repository on the last slide. The slides are also online, so you can just get that link there, and all the code is there.
Actually, all questions here, but I have a question.
Okay.
Have you ever tried semantic web or SparkRel, such language?
I played with that a little bit as part of my sort of SQL type of job, right? That would maybe be sort of a project for the future, try different query languages, right? I showed the example of doing it in SQL, and then maybe you can try to do it in Sparkle or other sort of database languages. That might be a different project, but that's an interesting idea, actually. Yeah, thanks.
Actually, there is no more question.
Yes. No, so the actual question here was like, how easy was it to pick up Rust? Yeah, well, I answered that in general, but I guess it also applies to Rust. I had looked into Rust before a little bit, but again, the same applies. I think you can, you know, if you've done it like 20 days before, I think on the whatever it was, 20 some day, to pick up another language really wasn't that difficult. I did really, sort of Rust was one of the things I learned to appreciate much better as part of this project.
We have 2 more minutes. Any questions?
Well, it sounds like we answered everything, but there's like this separate room for each talk that will open up in, I think, at some point soon. So I'll hang out in that for a little bit if people want to ask me direct questions or want some links. Thank you, everyone. That was really fun, and it was a nice way to wrap up this sort of Christmas project. Thanks.